Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend, whatever you were doing. I myself watched probably way too much March Madness. Had a great time doing so, though. Hope you all had safe, fun-filled weekends. And now we're back. Packers Daily, Monday through Friday. Although, not on Wednesday this week. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this Wednesday, it's the return of Packer Transplants Live. Don't miss it. Right here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel, Corey Banky back in the house, essentially learning about everything the Packers have done throughout the offseason for the very first time. I kid somewhat, though I'm sure some of the stuff that we'll talk about on Wednesday will be news to Corey Banky, but it won't be news to you fine folks, diehard Packers fans worldwide. Chatting about the Green Bay Packers right here on Packers Daily, because that's what we do each and every day throughout the season, the offseason. It doesn't matter. The talk doesn't stop. And look, I understand we've reached the downswing, as it were, of free agency, and everyone's starting to gear up for the NFL draft, which kicks off 1 month from today. One more whole month. I can do it. I can do it. Only 30 more days of talking about the draft. God help me. One thing that will help me get through it, though, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, April 2nd, the Cheesehead TV 2026 Pro Football Draft Guide will be available. And then we can get serious about the NFL draft. Everything you need to know from a Packers perspective in the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide, available April 2nd. Make sure you have a Cheesehead TV Patreon account. That's where you're going to purchase it. It's outstanding stuff each and every season. Al and company do great work. You want to check it out. You're going to be the smartest person at your draft party because you have the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. Do it, folks. You know you want to. The thing I want the Green Bay Packers to do is to give Calais Campbell a call. Now, listen. Stick with me here. I understand the Packers don't traditionally go after aging free agents, though they certainly have changed it up a bit this offseason. Though I understand Campbell is a bit of an outlier here, as that he will be turning 40. That's right, 40 years old on September 1st. But here's the thing. He is still kicking ass and taking names after 1 year back in Arizona under, yes, the Packers' new defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon. And this cat is still wrecking shop. He's coming off a season where he had 6.5 sacks as an interior defensive lineman. Still playing the run at a high level. Still blowing up blocking schemes. Hell, 6.5 sacks. That's one less than Rashawn Gary had as an edge in Green Bay last season. I mean, think about the pitch here. You say to Campbell, look, you don't even have to report until training camp, all right? You don't have to even come into the offseason program. You're familiar with Gannon. Gannon's familiar with you. Just come in and chase a ring. Line up next to Hargrave. Line up next to Wyatt. You got Parsons on the outside. LVN on the other side. You guys are going to be terrorizing offenses. I mean, and I hear you. It's a young man's game. I get all that. You can still mix in your Carl Brooks and whatever draft picks you end up getting. But Campbell up front in Green Bay with Parsons, along with Hargrave and everyone else mixing in as a rotation, it's a wrap, baby. You're blowing things up along the offensive line. You are controlling the line of scrimmage on defense for the first time in a long time in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Harkening back to, yes, then 34 and 35-year-old Sean Jones and Reggie White back in the day when they were winning a Super Bowl, bringing the title back to Titletown. The time is now. Campbell would instantly make this defensive front a big, big problem for opponents. And again, you're not making a huge splash here, not a monster outlay. You're undoubtedly going to give them some kind of decent signing bonus, but it's a one-year pitch. Go come chase a ring in Green Bay. It's clear he wants to pretty much operate on a year-to-year basis at this point, and there's no telling whether he's going to play or not, and maybe he's going to retire, but this is the pitch. Come get yourself a chance to win a ring in Green Bay, Wisconsin, with all this premier talent, great defensive coach, team that is on the cusp. Help get them there. Help get them to the promised land. You'll be a legend forever. Makes all the sense in the world in my book. I understand it's a very, 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 very unlikely scenario. But I would love to see it happen. It's the top of my wish list for this offseason. Though, again, I know it's unlikely to happen. But that's what I'm talking about. Go for the gusto. Get a guy who is still wrecking shop, even at his advanced age. Down in and down out, playing at a high level. Higher level than pretty much anyone else at that position in Green Bay has for a very long time. I'm telling you. Go unlock a championship. Go get him. And it's not saying that he's the key, but he is or would be a key to elevating the play along the defensive front in a way we have not seen in Green Bay in a long time. That's just me. That's just something I'm into. Your mileage may be different. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody mixing it up. We got random Packers in the chat. Good to see everybody. Hope you all had a great weekend. Before we get going, you know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. You put your heart into the green and gold, which is why ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care puts everything into yours. Stay game day ready with nationally recognized heart care close to home. ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your minds? How we doing? We got Mimsy. How you doing, Mimsy? Playoffs equal Nagler beard, draft equals Nagler mullet. Well, you know, not a traditional mullet, as it were, because I really haven't cut anything. So there's no, you know, business in the front, party in the back. But it is getting long. It is getting long. I'm just going to let it grow pretty much throughout the offseason. No reason to cut it. You know, I ain't trying to do nothing here with this visage. Just trying to hang out, man. Oh, God, New York Cheesehead. Randy Packer. I think you mean random Packer. Randy Wright. God help us all. God help us all. What else we got here, folks? Random Packer, Jordy Nelson. I don't know that he's that random, but that is a Packer, a former one, too. New York Cheesehead also says, need some veteran presence. That would certainly swing the pendulum, right, as far as everything we've talked about over the course of the last 3 years, as the Packers have been the youngest team in the league, 3 years running. Don't doubt for a moment who a leader, not the leader, but a leader in the clubhouse would be, along with Micah Parsons. There would be a whole lot of veteran presence in Green Bay suddenly. Kind of love that idea. Given some of the meltdowns we've seen, some of the problems with penalties, pre-snap stuff, etc., lining up offsides, all of that nonsense, you got some guys you're going to have to answer to in the locker room, even as it stands right now, but especially if you add Campbell. I am down with this idea. E4, how you doing, man? What a pitch. Come on, Brian G. We know you're listening. What's a one-year deal? Can't hurt. Just might help. I mean, we know Brian's a regular listener to Packers Daily. Look, the problem, of course, is I have little doubt there are other teams probably with the same idea, pitching somewhat similar things. But I do think, you know, the connection with Gannon, that is somewhat key. Hopefully Campbell had a good experience with Gannon. I mean, Gannon didn't punch him, so hopefully that's a good thing. But I don't doubt his services if he decides to continue, and he could very well decide to retire. I mean, that's an entire possibility. But you have to think, yeah, if he decides, okay, yeah, I'm down for one more year, there are going to be a couple teams making that call. Without question, he is still playing at an extremely high level. Jimmy, thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Appreciate it, man. Hey, Nags, is there any position of need where you think the Packers should be focusing on through the upcoming draft? If you mean making multiple selections at a particular position, I think cornerback has a very good possibility there, though I don't necessarily think that's going to be the way we've seen in the past where they've done it a couple of selections in a row, right? But I do think there's a possibility that that's a position they at least double up on. Like, they need to augment the talent in that room in a pretty significant way, to my eyes. They may love what they've got on hand and think they've got a bunch of talent, say, former undrafted guys that they think are ready to bust out. It's entirely possible, but Yeah, no, I think they have to. I think they will augment corner more than anything else in this draft. Menace, what's up? Nags, you see Bukowski's video today? I hate to break your or Peter's heart, but I do not make a habit of watching Peter's content, though excellent, I'm sure it is. Life is too short, and I watch the Green Bay Packers myself and form my own opinions. Very rarely do I seek out other people's content, and that's no knock on Peter. It's just I like to keep my own counsel, as it were, when it comes to analyzing the team, what I think of it, etc. But again, I'm sure Peter has done really good work in this regard. It's not something that I'm ever kind of making time to do. Again, not just for Peter, but almost any, especially video content. I got minimal hours in the day in my life. As far as Goody never missing on the top 100 draft outside of Josh Jackson, you can make that argument, and I'm sure Peter did. I'm sure there are disappointments along the way. Expectations are a big key here when you're talking about certain selections, where they were picked, what the expectation was when they were selected, who was playing with them, what the depth chart looked when they were added to the team, etc. But for the most part, I do think, you know, there's a lot that people look at when it comes to Goody's draft success, misses, what have you, that, you know, doesn't take in full context, which I'm sure Peter does. So, like I say, Peter does grind. He does the work. So I have no doubt that he's, you know, tried to provide as much context as possible. But again, it's hard for me to sit here and say they've all been successful. I do think Goody, especially because of the playoff failures over the course of the last X number of years. I mean, you know, that people see a lack of contribution from top 100 picks or especially first round picks, and that taints their view of Gutekunst's draft record and acumen. I do know, like, for every piece of content like Peter's, where he's extolling the virtues of Brian Gutekunst's draft philosophy and ability, you can take a look at something like Pete Doherty wrote this morning at PackersNews.com about how there are no all pros or Pro Bowl players. Although I did find that kind of funny because, you know, I know it was based, his article was based on a study that was done, I think at Harvard, but at some place where it was like, oh, the Packers have had minimal all pros and Pro Bowlers. It's funny to see a media entity chiding Gutekunst for a lack of all pros, which is an accolade voted on by the media. It's like a self-eating donut or something. But that's just me. Like I said, that is just me. Oh, no. Now we got a bunch of people talking about Bukowski. This is his dream, folks. Jerry, what's up, man? Stop the damn run. It would be nice. It would be nice for a change. They continue to have issues in that regard. They seemed to uptick a bit 2 years ago, but this past year was another problematic area. Going back to the addition of Campbell, still playing at a high level against the run. I'm just saying. And I've seen a lot of folks talking about the need for a humongous big old nose tackle, and I'm not so sure I agree 100% that it's a necessity, like they've got to have it, but it sure would help, especially on early base type downs. Let's build that wall, baby. I don't hate the idea, but I don't think it's a complete, you know, dereliction of duty if they come out of this draft without one. Eric, how you doing? Thanks for checking out the stream. What do I think about re-signing Diggs? Talked about this a bit last week, but I do think it's interesting that he hasn't signed, given that the Packers released him almost immediately after the season was over, probably to help him in the idea of maybe signing before the start of free agency, where there are a lot of other options, but no team has done so far. I would suspect he's the type that would probably get signed either right before or right after the draft. right before would be a team looking to try and fill their room out and make sure they don't have to reach in the draft. Right after the draft would be a team that went through the draft, didn't get what they liked at that position, or didn't just happen to fall the right way, and so they bring in Diggs. Could the Packers fall into either one of those? Yeah, they could. But given the fact that they did have him in the building for a couple weeks there, right, and let him go, and now free agency has begun, and they certainly haven't seemed, from any of the reporting, to be calling, I would suspect they're going to wait until after the draft if they were to make that call. But you never know. Hell, we could get done with this chat right now, and they could, breaking news, Packers have signed, re-signed Diggs. Completely, completely possible. Menace, what's up? Man, JSN helping price Watson out of 1265. What a contract. I don't think he's priced Watson out of 1265. I think, as I've said many times, and I was joking on Twitter about it the other day, Watson's deal is going to start civil war in Packers Twitter, like whatever it ends up being. I don't think it will approach what JSN just got. I do think it's going to be an instance where a lot of fans are going to have some sticker shock, but I'll be very surprised if the Packers do not re-sign him at some point this offseason. Maybe they hold it into the season and try and get something done, see how he comes back that first month of the season, what have you. But, man, I think he's, in their minds, one of their core players, and they have every intention of locking him up long term. But we'll see. We shall see. Campbell might be too expensive. On a one-year deal, I'd be shocked. Besides, the Packers can make any kind of move they want. Nobody's too expensive for the Packers this offseason. Banky does not have the patience for Petey. Oh, you can say that again. You are not lying. Mike Witt, how are you, brother? Since we brought up mullets on the stream, random Packer with the best mullet, Jeff Query, Packers legend. Oh, and it's not even a debate. It is always going to be Jeff Query. No matter what happens, no matter, say, 20 years in the future, let's say mullets come back big time and guys are all wearing them coming out of school or whatever, and there are like just a ton of Packers with mullets, no one will ever approach Jeff Query's mullet. That is absolute fact. Evil Badger, how you doing, man? Signing Campbell would really break Goody's streak of having the youngest team. It most certainly would. And what's funny is it's like, as of right now, the Packers aren't in the top five for the youngest team in the NFL. That's how small the margins are. But that would certainly tip the balance way the other way, which I am fine with. The core is what matters, and the core is still young and ascending for the most part. That's an interesting question. How much could or should a head coach change his scheme year to year? Yeah, that's interesting. I think you have to be looking at stuff each and every offseason, right? And Matt has talked about this on a couple of occasions. You don't want to get stagnant. Obviously, you do have principles and the core of things that you do that you like, that has been successful, that you want to stick with and maybe augment a little bit as far as window dressing or how you run it so that people can't stay on top of it and know it's coming. But you certainly want to keep evolving and want adding things and finding things from both whatever your staff is bringing to the table by themselves or what they've watched and stolen from around the league, which every team does. But you're certainly changing things up each and every offseason, at least a little bit. You have to. You very rarely, if ever, go into a season with everything you were doing last year. It's almost always some attempt to, again, look at what you did well and try to build off of that and add things that you've seen have success other places. It's very rarely stagnant. Again, you're always working within a certain scheme, principles, things you like, types of personnel groupings that work in certain ways together, etc. All of that is pretty consistent from year to year, but you're always looking to add wrinkles, do things a little differently, just try to stay ahead of what defenses are trying to do to you. McKnight, you're right. I've talked about him before. Jonathan Ford is still on our team. True. Certainly not a guy who's going to be a difference maker. I do not hate the idea of Ford being a part of the rotation. As I always say, the world needs ditch diggers too. But don't get it twisted. That is exactly what Jonathan Ford is. He is a ditch digger that will help you as a rotational piece. But he's not helping you win a championship as a starting player in the NFL. Always trying to get better. No question about it. What else we got here, folks? Menace. Have you met Matt LaFleur, bro? Ain't changing shit unless J-Lo is out. That's just empirically untrue, dude. Go see, I know you're all frustrated from last year, but go and watch from season to season. Hell, you just talked about since J-Lo's been the quarterback, every year the scheme has been a bit different. If you really look at it, it's quite different, actually. So, again, I get the frustrations, but that is just strictly not the case at all. Now we've got mullet discussion on the chat. I think that's a good sign. It's a place to leave it until I get to James. Who do you want the Packers backup quarterback to be this season? I don't really have a guy that I'm pining for at this moment. I'm interested to see who they might bring in the draft. That's a position that I do believe they'll be looking on day three for a developmental guy. Now, is that the guy you want backing up Jordan Love in a season where you're trying to get to a Super Bowl? Probably not, but I do think they're going to be continuing to kick the tires on possible trades. I know the Anthony Richardson thing has gotten a lot of kind of press, pub, what have you. I'd be surprised if they went that route. But we'll see what happens most likely late in the draft and even post-draft and free agency. Someone's already put it. I don't want Kirk Cousins. I don't actually mind the idea of Kirk Cousins as a backup, but that's all he should be right now. He shouldn't be starting in the NFL. As a guy who has experience in a system akin to what LaFleur runs there in Minnesota with KOC, it wouldn't be the world's worst pickup as a backup, but not going to move the needle, not going to get people excited. I understand that, but as the old saying goes, you know, we don't practice fucked. And if Jordan Love goes down, they're fucked. So, like, I don't worry about it way too much. Dawes was released today. I saw that from the Patriots. No, I don't think that's an answer. Though, who knows what the Packers might think as far as the next reclamation project. And who knows, maybe it's Desmond Ridder, who is currently still on the roster. You know, a former starter in the league. Maybe there's something there in their eyes. Again, I tend to doubt it, but my opinion don't matter. Theirs does. Joe, thanks again, man. Has the guy on the cover of the Cheesehead TV draft guide ever been drafted by the Packers? No, not in our history. If we put him on the cover, traditionally that means he ain't getting drafted. But hey, my draft crushes didn't get drafted for a long time until they did, and now I can't stop. Now they've been drafted like the last 2 years in a row. So anything is possible. The dime, it can turn at any moment. Menace. I don't disagree, man. I have to say, Don Majkowski does not get the love he deserves for jumpstarting the Packers' rebirth. Ron and Mike and Brett, sure, of course, but Magic Man is a legacy character who doesn't get enough. I guess you mean enough love. I do think he does from folks in the know who were there. I do not ever mention him or see him mentioned and don't see a outpouring and a cascade of appreciation and love from fans, probably like yourself, who lived through it, right? But I know the youngsters don't in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, it's our job as folks who were there to educate them on this because he was instrumental. But I can't say I'm surprised, right? It's certainly a generational thing. Of that, there's little doubt. Jim McMahon was pretty random. Very random. Talk about random Packer. Visited the Packers and signed and backed up Brett Favre when they won a Super Bowl. Pretty amazing. All right, folks, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.